legendary NFL football coach Bum Phillips has passed away. Former Marine who fought during Pearl Harbor, coach of the coach of the Saints and the Texans, and an all-around character, Bum Phillips, passed away at the age of 90, survived by his son, Wade Phillips. We ask that you give them a moment of silence.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Tattoos and touchdowns. They love the game. I'm perturbed. Lyle Alzado, Matusak, and Ham and Lambert.
Minister of Defense, Peyton Manning, Dan Marino, John Elway, You know, Jim Kelly.
It's football. Just give me my chance to, like, put a big leather helmet on like Al Bundy's.
You are listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns on warlikeradio.com.
And here we go.
Fine, huh? It ain't over till the fat man spits.
Yes, it ain't over till the fat man spits. Tattoos and Touchdowns. Chris Espo with me as always is Will Sweeney.
Good morning.
And Super Producer Josie.
That's me.
It's week 7 in the NFL, and I feel haggard like death right now. I'm not sick, though. I'm just tired.
You look a little like hell, to be honest with you.
It happens.
Still sexy, though.
Yeah, it's because my Jets lost last week to a winless team.
But you predicted it.
I did.
Pigskin prophecy.
I was an interception off from being spot on. So
yep.
I'll take 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Thank you, Meatloaf. So today is October 20th.
It's about right.
All right. Week 7 in the NFL. A lot to cover this week. We have to recap last week's games as always. We have next week, today, to look forward to, actually. We have tomorrow night's Monday night game and the following week's Thursday game. We had Pros versus Joe this weekend, last weekend, and I think we all went 3-2.
Okay.
And Joe was the only one who hit with the Patriots.
Didn't I have Detroit also?
We all had Detroit.
Oh, okay.
We all had Detroit. Yeah. Joe flew solo on the Patriots,
yes.
and the fact that they were wearing white was his big sticking point. And
guys should pay attention to what I say.
Yes.
It was also his saving grace, apparently.
Yeah. Wow. So with 3 seconds left, Tom Brady wound up in. But we'll cover that in a second. Yes. So Bum Phillips passed away at the age of 90. Houston Oilers coach, New Orleans Saints coach.
His overall record was 86-80. He took the Houston Oilers to the AFC Championship game twice in 78 and 79. And who did he lose to? The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I think in the 78 and 79 season, he also had Earl Campbell, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so. It doesn't say here in the article I'm looking at from Wikipedia.
I'll do a little detective work on that. But Houston Oilers were always that team as the years progressed, even when they had Warren Moon and the product of the run and shoot. Including the biggest choke in history, which we've covered on an old when we were only a podcast. They've always been hard luck losers. So, Bum Phillips, rest in peace. There's just a plethora of great quotes. We couldn't find the one. Usually, there's one that's always on NFL films. That's 4 holding penalties on 1 football team in a quarter and a half. And the ref actually looks at him and starts to smile, and he goes, "Don't laugh, it ain't funny." It's fantastic. It's fantastic. He was just a real country bumpkin, like
so,
they like to say.
I'm just going to, based on the quotes I'm looking at, apparently Earl Campbell did play for Bum Phillips, and here's a little quote about Earl Campbell. Apparently he was, Bum Phillips was asked about the Oilers running back Earl Campbell's inability to finish a 1-mile run in training camp. His response, "When it's first in a mile, I won't give it to him." So, he was definitely one of the most colorful characters, at that time, a lot of the coaches were very colorful, but he seemed to be more out there than everybody else.
Yeah, he had that 10-gallon hat.
Which he would never wear in a dome stadium because his mother told him, you don't wear a hat indoors. And I'm dead serious with that.
Yeah, he's a good old boy. Earl Campbell was actually drafted first round, first overall in the 78 draft by the Houston Oilers. So he had him for 78 and 79. His first two seasons, Earl Campbell, not to get too off track, Earl Campbell, 1,450 yards in his rookie season, 1,697 yards in his sophomore season. Wow.
And in his third season, 1934.
Wow. And he only played until 85. He only played for 7 years for Houston and New Orleans. So that's interesting.
So he must have. Oh, that's kind of funny because from 75 to 80, Bum Phillips was the coach of the Oilers. And then from 81 to 85, he was the head coach of the Saints.
So in 84, they actually made a trade for him. For Earl Campbell, and he went to the Saints, and he played in 84 and 85. So he was basically an Earl Campbell. Earl Campbell was a Bum Phillips guy,
apparently.
So next last week, a lot to cover. Will's got the games up.
We'll kick it off with the Detroit Lions at the Cleveland Browns. The Lions win 31-17. In this game, Brandon Weeden had a fairly decent day. 26 of 43, 292 yards, two touchdowns, and two interceptions. Matthew Stafford, 25 of 43, 248 yards, four touchdowns, and one interception. Those are kind of average numbers for Matthew Stafford. I mean, his yardage is usually a little higher.
Yeah, and Calvin Johnson was back in this game, I think.
Yes, he was. He was. Calvin Johnson, where
I think
is
he only had about three catches.
Yeah, three catches for 25 yards killed me.
So he's coming back off of a little bit of an injury that actually kept him out the week before. And you could see when Calvin Johnson isn't healthy, even though they won, Matthew Stafford isn't the same quarterback.
Right. When he's out, they're a completely one-dimensional team.
Right.
Although Joseph Fauria, three grabs, 34 yards, three touchdowns.
Yeah, and I think he was actually number one on that. You know, NFL.com has that perfect fantasy thing.
Right, yeah,
that's
yeah.
why I can't play that.
I've been playing it. I'm decent.
I can't
I start Peyton Manning every week.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the right way to be. My wife's like, no, you should really play. I'm like, do you understand the odds of hitting that correctly?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Reggie Bush also had a five grabs for 57 yards and a touchdown, going over to the Cleveland Browns receiving stats. Chris Ogbonna, seven grabs, 61 yards, one touchdown. Josh Gordon, seven grabs, 126 yards, no touchdowns. Jordan Cameron, five grabs for 64 yards. And Greg Little, two grabs, 12 yards, one touchdown. Heading over to the rushing stats. Kind of pedestrian all the way around. Reggie Bush was the leading rusher for the game, 17 rushes for 78 yards. For the Browns, Willis McGahee, 10 rushes, 37 yards. Travis Benjamin, one rush for 45 yards. And everybody else was, well, I'd say subpar, but they're just more subpar than the next, apparently. So we'll head over to Green Bay edges out Baltimore, 19-7. That's a nail-biter right there. Aaron Rodgers, 17 passes, 17 completions for 32 attempts. 315 yards, one touchdown and an interception. Joe Flacco, 20 of 34, 342 yards, two touchdowns. Eddie Lacy had another day. 23 rushes for 120 yards, no touchdowns. And the next leading rusher after him was Aaron Rodgers, who had 21 yards.
Before this season, the Green Bay Packers hadn't had a 100-yard rusher in the last 46 games.
Right.
This year, they actually had two in the last four games.
Right.
So Eddie Lacy's doing something right. And I said from the beginning, I said before the season started, when they drafted him and they drafted Jonathan Franklin, and even though everybody looked at Eddie Lacy and Eddie Lacy looked like he ate his rookie contract, I said he's going to wind up being the starter. He's a change of pace for that vertical offense. And lo and behold, even with the injury, they put him right back into the lineup. They've plugged him in as starter, and he's playing fantastic.
Absolutely, and just as a quick aside, Jonathan Franklin, one rush, negative 3 yards.
Good for you, Johnny.
Yay. Receiving stats, Jordy Nelson was the big receiver for the Packers. 4 receptions, 113 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah, I know, because everybody who had a big day last week, I wound up playing in at least one of them, if not three of them, in every different fantasy league.
Nice.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Nice. Speaking of fantasy, I am now 5-1.
Oh.
Lost to my brother.
It was the Sweeney Bowl.
Yes, I'm not happy about it. Let's not talk about it any further.
All right, no problem. no fantasy this week, apparently, then.
Well, all right. as for the Ravens receiving stats, Tandon Doss. Who?
Yeah.
Four grabs, 99 yards. Dallas Clark, 4 grabs, 81 yards on a touchdown.
The ageless Dallas Clark.
Yeah, he won't go away.
No.
Marlon Brown, 3 grabs, 71 yards. And then Jacoby Jones, 2 grabs, 42 yards, and a touchdown. Very subpar for him, actually.
Yeah.
And now we will head over to Cincinnati Bengals edge out Buffalo. A lot of close games this week. Cincinnati edges out Buffalo 27-24. Andy Dalton, 26 of 40. 3 touchdowns and an interception. You're welcome, Phil. Thaddeus Lewis, 19 of 32 for 2 touchdowns for the Bills.
It's Carlton's friend from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That name, Thaddeus. Stop it.
Oh, over to the rushing stats. The law firm, Benjarvis Green Ellis, 18 attempts, 86 yards. And for the Bills, C.J. Spiller, 10 for 55. Fred Jackson, 10 of 35.
They still rush for a little over 100 yards on the ground, which is decent. I mean, Cincinnati's got a great run defense.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Thaddeus Lewis, though, he ran 7 times for 17 yards and a touchdown, so good for him. Heading over to the receiving stats, A.J. Green, 6 receptions, 103 yards and a touchdown. Giovanni Bernard, 6 grabs, 72 yards and a touchdown. Marvin Jones, 3 grabs, 71 yards and a touchdown. Everything else was kind of pedestrian. Heading over to the Bills, let's see. T.J. Graham, 4 grabs for 74 yards, no touchdowns. Marquise Goodwin, 2 grabs, 51 yards and a touchdown. Scott Chandler, 2 grabs, 47 yards and a touchdown. So, nothing really terribly exciting as far as that's concerned. Heading over to St. Louis over Houston. Sorry, Chris.
Yeah.
This was Chris's game in the suicide pool.
Yeah, and my team committed suicide. I had Houston. Like I had said last week on the show, I figured that they weren't going to lose four games in a row.
Right.
Excuse me. They weren't going to lose 3 in a row at home. They weren't going to have Matt Schaub lay another egg. And Matt Schaub really didn't. In his defense. He played a decent game, and Will and I were watching games together last Sunday, and we looked at some of the stats, and I mean, Arian Foster had 141 yards rushing. He had a good day.
Right.
Schaub played decent, but then Schaub got hurt.
Yeah, Schaub was 15 of 21 for 186 yards, which is a really good day for him considering the season he's had so far.
Absolutely.
T.J. Yates came in and stunk the place up, 12 of 17 for 98 yards and 2 interceptions. Just in case you don't know, the final score was the Rams 38, Texans 13. Sam Bradford, 12 completions, 16 attempts, 117 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, it was a very big defensive. It was a special teams day.
Yeah.
That's what really dictated this game. So if St. Louis would drive the ball down on a great punt return, Sam Bradford didn't have to be a Superman just to throw up a 15-yard pass.
This is true. Zach Stacy, the leading rusher for St. Louis, 18 grabs, 79 yards.
Zach Stacy's playing very well in his rookie campaign. He looks really good. He has good ball carrier vision. I know for a fact in every one of the leagues I'm in, he's not there anymore. So you had to take that chance quick,
right,
and get him. But yeah. Zach Stacy looks like what Darryl Richardson should have looked like.
Absolutely. Rushing for the Texans, we already covered Arian Foster, 141 yards. Ben Tate, ready for this? 10 rushes, 12 yards, 1 touchdown.
I don't understand certain teams. I really don't. That they have this 2-back scheme, and I don't think Ben Tate is any. He isn't that much different than Arian Foster.
Right.
He's got a little bit more bulk to him. He's a little bit more north-south, where Arian Foster's east-west as far as a rusher goes, but Arian Foster doesn't mind getting in there and banging.
Right.
And that's why anytime a fantasy season comes around, not to keep harping on fantasy, but I avoid Arian Foster at all costs because he doesn't get me touchdowns.
Right, exactly.
Where I can get a guy like Ben Tate and get the same amount of points just because he had 12 yards and a touch.
Right. Heading over to the receiving stats. If you were a St. Louis Ram that pretty much nobody's ever heard of, you had a good day. Brian Quick, one grab, 4 yards, one touchdown. Corey Harkey, one grab, 2 yards, one touchdown. Lance Kendricks, one grab, 2 yards, one touchdown.
Yeah, and I started Austin Pettis, and I started Jared Cook.
One
and
grab, 12 yards, no touchdown. Jared Cook, two grabs, 45 yards.
And I started Tavon Austin, one catch, 3 yards.
Yeah.
So if I would have known in my crystal ball of crystal balls, I can predict other things. I couldn't predict the fact that Houston was going to lose again.
Stink the bed, yeah.
And they're actually starting Case Keenum this week. Watch, he'll throw for like 700 yards.
Yeah.
Case Keenum's a great story, though. Case Keenum was, went to, he's a Houston native, went to the University of Houston, go Cougars.
Ooh.
Not those Cougars. Oh, well, right. Yes, but not those Cougars. He's an undrafted rookie, gets signed by the Houston Texans, now gets to start a game for the Houston Texans. So,
yep.
Feel good story. Hopefully, this is lightning in a bottle for the Texans and they say bye-bye, Schaub.
That's most likely what's going to happen. For the receiving stats for the Texans, Andre Johnson, 7 grabs, 88 yards. Obviously, no touchdowns for anybody on the receiving end. Arian Foster, on top of his 140 yards receiving rushing, 4 grabs for 57 yards. And DeAndre Hopkins, 3 grabs for 47 yards. Kansas City annihilates Oakland, 24-7.
Such a rough word.
You know what? With the way the Raiders have been playing lately, it's a big disappointment for them. They've actually been playing decent ball.
Yeah, listen, Kansas City's defense is faux real.
Absolutely.
This game was close. I think it was nothing. It was either nothing at the half, or maybe 7-0 Kansas City at
the
half.
It was tied at 7.
Okay, 7-7 at the half. This game was really defensive in the early going, and then like we saw on certain games this week, it came down to defensive positioning and defensive battles. And Kansas City, there's no one right now, no one, and they're winning me weeks.
Right,
there are weeks they're getting me 35, 40 points on defense.
Right,
they're a swarm defense. Everybody's healthy. Tom Bahali is playing the best he's ever played. Eric Berry is finally healthy, playing the best he's ever played. Derek Johnson, best he's ever played. It's finally a good season. I don't think they overtake Denver in that division, but I cannot wait to see the Denver-Kansas City matchup soon.
Yeah.
That's going to be great.
That should be a real thriller. And right now, Kansas City's defense, everybody touted the Seahawks defense to be the best in the NFL. Not the case right now. I mean, the Seahawks defense is good, but you're not touching the Kansas City defense right now.
Seahawks have the best defense in the NFC. Kansas City has the best defense in the AFC. Well, Kansas City has the best defense in the NFL.
Right. Absolutely. Rushing stats, Terrell Pryor. Oh, sorry, we'll do the passing stats first. Terrell Pryor, 18 of 34, one touchdown, 216 yards, 3 interceptions. Oof. Alex Smith, 14 of 31, 128 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions.
That's just a product of your defense. Yeah. I don't have to do much if you're just going to keep giving me the ball inside the 20.
Exactly. Exactly. Now to the rushing stats, where Terrell Pryor was the leading rusher, 6 attempts for 60 yards. Darren McFadden, 16 rushes for 52 yards. Rashard Jennings. I started Rashard Jennings because McFadden was supposed to be hurt. 4 rushes for 12 yards. Yay.
It's a 1.2. You got about 1.2 points.
Yeah, about that. Jamal Charles for the Chiefs. 22 rushes, 78 yards, 2 touchdowns. Receiving stats for the Raiders. Denarius Moore, 5 grabs, 82 yards on a touchdown. Rod Streeter, 3 grabs for 46 yards. Everybody else was extremely, extremely pedestrian. To the Kansas City Chiefs, Jamal Charles, 5 grabs, 50 yards, no touchdowns. Dwayne Bowe, 3 grabs, 46 yards, no touchdowns. Donnie Avery, 2 grabs for 6 yards. And then it just goes downhill from there.
Yeah, and this is the first year Jamal Charles has been like truly, truly healthy. I mean, he's had some big seasons before. I'm not shortchanging him in any way, but it's about time that he's such a dual threat now, and he is a big-time Alex Smith security blanket.
All right. Heading over to the Panthers and Vikings. Now, Chris, would you consider this an upset as the Panthers beat the Vikings 35-10.
No, I wouldn't consider it an upset only because they had mirror records of each other. I think that if you go down the line, with the exception of Adrian Peterson, now Adrian Peterson was playing with a heavy heart last week, and he's probably going to play with a heavy heart for the rest of his career, regardless of how close his relationship was with his son that passed away. It doesn't matter. It's still blood.
Right.
Put that to the side. If you go position by position down the, down both teams, Carolina was the better team.
Yeah.
And Josh Freeman is now starting this week for Minnesota. I think there's just too much turmoil in Minnesota when it comes to a quarterback that they really need to, first of all, they need to get rid of Leslie Frazier. He's not the coach for that team.
Apparently not.
He doesn't have a set direction and goal. Needs to step away. They need to beef up that defensive front, and they need a quarterback.
Yep, because Josh Freeman is not your answer.
And they need to go away from this rushing, the running style quarterback because it didn't work with Christian Ponder. They need a pocket quarterback.
You got somebody who can run the ball, the best running back in the league. You don't need to run. You don't need a quarterback that runs.
Not even a little bit.
Maybe just a slightly mobile quarterback behind the line so you can get out of the pocket and maybe run an option pass or here and there a bootleg, but you don't need a quarterback who's going to rush for yards.
Agreed. I'd like to see them look at A.J. McCarron from Alabama.
All right. And by the way, if you listened to me last week and you picked the quarterback sleeper Cam Newton, you had yourself a day, and you're welcome.
Not just him. I'm sorry. You picked every Carolina Panther in a major offensive category as a sleeper. Kudos.
Yeah, and fantastic. Actually, it worked out. Didn't really work out. Well, we'll get to the receiving stats in a second. But Cam Newton, 20 of 26, 242 yards, three touchdowns. Matt Castle, 32 of 44, one touchdown, two interceptions. The rushing stats, D'Angelo Williams, 17 rushes, 64 yards, no touchdowns. Cam Newton, 9 rushes, 30 yards. Oh, there's your fourth touchdown from Cam Newton. And Mike Tolbert, 8 grabs, 27 yards, and a touchdown. For the Vikings, Adrian Peterson, extremely pedestrian day for him. 10 rushes, 62 yards.
And we had said that it was either going to be he goes beast mode and runs for 500 yards in one game, or he's non-existent. And in this case, he was non-existent.
Non-existent, yeah. The receiving stats, Brandon LaFell was the leading receiver, 4 grabs, 107 yards and a touchdown. Steve Smith, 5 grabs, 21 yards, 1 touchdown. All right, so he wasn't that big a sleeper, but at least he got you some points. I mean, if you look at it, it's 12 points, not bad. And Mike Tolbert, 2 grabs for 20 yards. My other sleeper, Greg Olsen, 2 grabs, 19 yards.
Yeah, these things happen.
Yeah, it does. Can't be wonderful all the time.
I got to tell you, man, Brandon LaFell was one of those guys that I had picked up in the beginning of the week. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to start him. And then something happened where Espo blacked out for a second and didn't start him. Ooh. And 25 points later, sitting on my bench.
Yeah.
He had more points than all of my wide receivers combined.
It really hurts when you leave big points on your bench like that when you're playing fantasy. Vikings, Kyle Rudolph, 9 grabs, 97 yards on a touchdown. Everybody else, just very, very pedestrian.
And I honestly blame the quarterback in certain situations. And Matt Castle just didn't play well enough. He's better than Ponder. It's like that chain of command. Ponder's, in my eyes, is the worst of the three. Castle's a little better. Freeman's a little bit better than that. But Freeman's just a hothead and just he's an attitude case.
Yeah. Although, I think he's playing this week with something to prove, but we'll get into that when we preview the week's games. Chris, the game we were watching,
yep.
Pittsburgh Steelers beat out the Jets 19-6. You predicted this victory for the Steelers.
Certainly did.
Big Ben, 23 of 30, 264 yards and a touchdown. The other prediction Chris made, just short of making it completely accurate, 19 of 34, 201 yards, 2 interceptions. You predicted 3.
Yeah, I thought Geno was going to throw 3. He almost had the third.
Yes.
We were watching the game, and somebody on Pittsburgh dropped it. I mean, it was clean. Dropped it clean. And that just...
Chris actually cursed when that happened because he was like, damn it, I wanted to be right.
Yeah, seriously, I didn't even care about the fact that the Jets were going to lose. I mean, I already had that one in the bag. And here's the thing. I had them set up for this week because of what happened in Atlanta. They had such a great week in Atlanta.
Right.
And coming off a short week against a team that was on a bye with something to prove. Yeah, I didn't expect Pittsburgh to lose this game, and I was right. So anybody who decided to take the bet and take Pittsburgh, you're welcome. I'll expect my kickback eventually.
Exactly. He only asked for 10%.
Joe's staying quiet. He's just taking notes right now. He's not. He's figuring out his pros versus Joe for a little while.
I mean, as far as rushing and receiving stats, nothing, absolutely nothing stands out. Le'Veon Bell for the Steelers, 16 rushes, 34 yards. Leading rusher for the Jets was Bilal Powell, 9 attempts for 30 yards. Receiving stats, all right, so Antonio Brown, 9 grabs, 86 yards. Heath Miller, 6 grabs, 84 yards. Emmanuel Sanders, 3 grabs, 70 yards and a touchdown for the Jets. Jeff Cumberland was the leading receiver, 4 grabs for 59 yards. Now, I had tried picking him up during that week, but Kira apparently had him beforehand.
Kira's the babyface assassin when it comes to this stuff. She just swoops in and picks people up.
And she does it silently.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely silently. Everybody else, just it's honestly not even really worth talking about because it was that pedestrian. Philadelphia Eagles beat out the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 31-20. Now, Nick Foles for the Eagles, 22 of 31, 296 yards, 3 touchdowns. Mike Glennon, 26 of 43, 273 yards, 2 touchdowns and an interception. Not a bad day for him.
No. Not at all. Tampa looked better in this game. They're just the Philly high-powered offense is just too much.
Yeah.
It's too much. And the offense looks better with Nick Foles. I'm sorry.
It does. It absolutely does. Not putting up the numbers that Mike Vick was putting up in the first couple of weeks, but I think in the long run, Nick Foles is going to run the offense better.
Nick Foles is smarter with the football. Vick tries to make too much happen. Defenses clamp on that.
Right.
I like the way Nick Foles runs this offense.
Your rushing stats, Philadelphia Eagles, LeSean McCoy, 25 rushes, 116 yards. Nick Foles, 3 rushes, 2 yards, 1 touchdown.
Shady keeps me in every week in fantasy.
He's guaranteed 100 yards rushing.
And about 50 yards receiving every week. Every week, week in and week out. Shady's numbers receiving are better with Vic, but his running numbers are better with Foles.
Well, this week receiving, he had 4 grabs, 2 grabs for 55 yards, so that's not bad.
There's my 50.
For the Buccaneers, muscle hamster Doug Martin, 16 of 67, no touchdowns. Receiving stats, DeSean Jackson, 6 grabs, 64 yards, 2 touchdowns. Riley, the N-bomb bandit Cooper.
Yeah.
4 receptions, 120 yards, and a touchdown. Everybody else extremely pedestrian. Well, we also covered LeSean McCoy's 55 yards. For the Bucs, Vincent Jackson had himself a day. 9 grabs, 114 yards, 2 touchdowns. Tim Wright, 7 grabs for 91 yards, no touchdowns. Everybody else, well, I've never heard of these other 3 guys except for Doug Martin. Chris Owusu, Jeff Demps, and Brian Leonard.
I've heard of Brian Leonard.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're better than me.
LeSean McCoy is actually number one in the league right now in rushing. He's got 630 yards going into this week. It's a great season so far.
Yep. Jacksonville, Denver. Spread on this one was 27 points. You said you would have taken Denver with the points because of history.
Because of history. Right. Exactly. And even history this season dictated that you got to take anybody against Jacksonville. Jacksonville came to play, man.
They did, and I disagree with you. I said 27 points was way too much, and if we would have bet again,
that's why I didn't.
I would have been sending my kids to Harvard.
Alexa goes to Oxford. Terrific.
Chad Henne, 27 of 42, 303 yards, 2 interceptions. Peyton Manning, 28 of 42, 295 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Very pedestrian for him. Except for the yardage.
This was Peyton's worst week.
Yeah.
Worst week against the worst team.
Yeah.
Strange.
It almost, and this is going to sound really screwed up to say, but it almost sounded like he said, all right, guys, I want you to hang with us and play a little bit, you know.
You know, I was thinking the same thing. Like, he just looked, I watched the replay of the game, and he just looked like he was just going through the motions.
Right.
Like, he knew the game was in the bag already before it even started. He just looked like he was working on stuff. And if something didn't work, okay, it didn't work. You know, scrap it. I already know my defense is going to lock him down. And then it started to get a little close. And he's like, all right, no. This is not happening. All right, I'll step on your necks now. We're done.
Exactly. Rushing stats, MJD, 21 rushes, 71 yards, one touchdown. Everybody else, no, just didn't exist.
Yeah.
Denver Broncos, no Sean Moreno, 15 rushes, 42 yards, three touchdowns.
No Sean Moreno fits that. If you're going to go along the Peyton Manning parallels, he fits that Joseph Addai role very well, where Ronnie Hillman fits the Edgerrin James role. Right. It's a good comparison.
Yeah. Yep. Ronnie Hillman, four rushes for 20 yards. Nobody else really did much of anything. Receiving stats for the Jaguars. Justin Blackmon, another day. 14 receptions, 190 yards. Unfortunately, no touchdowns.
Doesn't matter when you receive for that many yards, though. I mean, if he would have had one touchdown, he would have been put in a different stratosphere for receivers. But
yeah,
I said this when I watched him at Oklahoma State, and he was a man among boys. If he was just on a team with a legitimate quarterback, he'd be almost be able to be mentioned in the top 10 of receivers in the league.
Absolutely.
He's amazing.
Receiving stats, Wes Welker, six grabs, 63 yards on a touchdown. Julius Thomas, four grabs, 22 yards on a touchdown. Noshon Moreno also grabbed seven catches for 62, and Eric Decker, five grabs for 50 yards. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot about Denarius Thomas. You know, who would have thunk Peyton Manning spreading the ball? Three grabs, 78 yards.
Yeah, Thomas killed me this week in my other league with Peyton. I got the doors blown off in my other league.
Really?
I lost by 100 points.
Oh, my God.
The guy I played, to his credit, had five of the fantasy number one players of the week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was rough.
That's crazy. All right, we're going to cover this last one. Seattle beats Tennessee 20-13. We're going to go to break right after this. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 17-29, 171 yards, no touchdowns, two interceptions. Russell Wilson, 23-31, 257 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Leading rusher, once again, for the Titans, Ryan Fitzpatrick, six rushes, 33 yards.
Well, Chris Johnson had the same amount. Let's be fair.
Doesn't matter. Your quarterback should not be your leading rusher.
Tennessee's is just confusing me this year.
Marshawn Lynch for the Seahawks, 21 rushes, 77 yards. Russell Wilson rushed for 61 yards on 10 attempts. Receiving stats. You know what? Hold on a second. Oh, sorry. Marshawn Lynch had two touchdowns, so that counts for 14 of the 20 points. I just disappeared there. There we go. Receiving stats. Kendall Wright for the Titans, five grabs, 69 yards. Everybody else not worth mentioning. Seattle Seahawks, Marshawn Lynch, seven grabs for 48 yards. And nobody else really worth mentioning there.
Pete Carroll's done a great job this year, changing the way Marshawn Lynch has played. He's now becoming a receiving back, too.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah, extremely. Makes Marshawn Lynch even more of a fantasy stud than he was.
Indeed.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the half-hour point. This is Tattoos and Touchdowns. We will be right back after a few.
Do you like video games? Are you a little antisocial? Well, listen to Antisocial Gamer Radio, Tuesdays from 3 to 5 on morelikeradio.com.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive three free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get three free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48. At adamandeve.com.
The Cousin Joe Show strives for excellence in broadcasting. Not really sure how, but he had mutilated himself. So there was self-mutilation to his genital area.
The gold standard for broadcasters everywhere, Cousin Joe is always on topic and always on point.
Now I'm talking ourselves up.
Keep going.
Both funny.
Like where you're going.
Which I don't say often about myself. Both funny. Creative. So, I lost my point.
Never short on words, he always knows just what to say.
I don't know how to put it without sounding gay.
He's an all-around honest guy, and not afraid to let you know just how he feels.
I don't get why people are so down on Hitler.
The key to Joe's success is his uncanny ability to bring you quality programming, night in and night out.
Record yourself taking a shit, and we're going to play Guess the Shit.
You can listen to the Cousin Joe and his Big Fat Cock Show Thursday nights, 7 to 10 p.m., only on morelikeradio.com.
Warning, listening to More Like Radio in large quantities may result in the following in no specific order.
Shenanigans, pure stupidity, anal leakage, bleeding from the ears, melting eyes, internal bleeding, loss of brain cells, delusions of invincibility, delusions of grandeur, loss of dignity and or balance, imagined gains in height, fitness and sexual prowess, inability to correctly judge sexual appeal of yourself or others, and athlete's foot.
Audience participation is welcomed. If not, screw you! Thank you.
Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com, every Sunday from 10 a.m. to noon. It's not FM, it's not XM, it's More Like Radio. Welcome back.
Yeah, buddy.
Who, what?
I said, yeah, buddy.
Oh.
Sorry. Right.
No, no problem. I got
I was going through puberty for a split second. Apologize. Yeah.
All right, to continue wrapping up last week's games, we'll go to San Francisco beats Arizona 32-20.
And no surprise there.
Not
no
really.
No surprise there.
No, no. Carson Palmer, 25 of 41, 298 yards, two TDs and two interceptions, and he did not get killed.
Yay.
I thought he would.
Yay.
I'm just saying.
Got to, wait, I got that going for me.
16 of 29, 252 yards, two touchdowns and an interception for Colin Kaepernick. Andre Ellington last week, seven attempts, 56 rushes, one touchdown. Nobody else really had any kind of rushing numbers for Arizona. For the 49ers, 25 attempts, 101 yards for Frank Gore. Kendall Hunter, three attempts, 11 yards, and one touchdown. Receiving stats for the Cardinals, six grabs, 117 yards, one touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald. Five attempts, 44 yards, one touchdown for Michael Floyd. Heading down to the San Francisco 49ers, and I would just like to thank Vernon Davis for his outstanding performance and getting me 40 points in the fantasy league last week.
Jesus.
Eight receptions, 180 yards, two touchdowns.
And then he'll come out this week and be non-existent. He'll have a catch for 3 yards, and he'll have two fumbles.
Right, exactly.
Somehow.
So, I mean, nobody else. Anquan Boldin, 28 yards. Nobody else even worth mentioning as far as statistics go. Joe's prophecy last week, the New England Patriots, 30. The New Orleans Saints, 27. Now, we caught the end of this game.
Yeah. Joey the Greek.
Drew Brees, 17 attempts, 36 yards. 17 completions, 36 attempts.
You know, even the clock is right twice a day.
There you go. 17 of 36 for Drew Brees, 236 yards, two TDs and an interception. Tom Brady, 25 of 43, 269 yards, one touchdown, one interception. New Orleans Saints rushing stats. Kyrie Robinson, 7 attempts, 53 yards and a touchdown.
Kyrie Robinson is a rookie this year. Fantastic. Smart pickup by the Saints in the offseason. They've never been a dominant running team.
Right.
Even when they had Ricky Williams. Ricky Williams was a bust when they had him.
Reggie Bush was a bust. Yeah.
Exactly. This could be the start of something for them because Mark Ingram is terrible.
Mark Ingram, I don't think he played.
No, he didn't.
The next leading rusher was Pierre Thomas, 11 rushes for 51 yards. Heading on over to New England Patriots, Stavon Ridley, 20 attempts, 96 yards, two touchdowns. Nothing else really worth mentioning as far as rushing stats for New England. Receiving stats for the Saints, Darren Sproles, 6 grabs, 58 yards. Kenny Stills, 3 grabs, 64 yards and a touchdown. Ben Watson, 3 grabs, 61 yards. And Travaris Cadet, One grab, 3 yards, one touchdown. Heading down to the Patriots. Yeah, you know what? Tom Brady did a really good job spreading the ball around today. Aaron Dobson, 6 grabs, 63 yards. Justin Edelman, 5 for 57. I'm not even going to try to pronounce this guy's last name, and I will. Humana Wooney?
Watch your mouth.
I butchered that. I apologize. A kid show. four grabs for 57 yards. Kenbrell Thomas, 3 grabs for 45 yards and a touchdown. Everybody else, pretty pedestrian. Danny Amendola came back. You want to hear his numbers?
Yeah, sure.
2 grabs, 0 yards.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him. Yeah. He actually got hurt in this game also, Danny Amendola.
Again?
Yes, again. And Kenbrell Tompkins had a great game. Tom Brady, listen, I know I bash the Patriots, and it's just part of my blood because I'm a Jet fan, and I'm even more jaded now because the Boston Red Sox are in the World Series again. Yuck. But Tom Brady is hands down in the top three of the greatest quarterbacks in the last decade.
Absolutely.
Really quick, though, Mark Ingram, non-existent yet again. He's played in 2 games this year. He started one of them, 17 attempts, 31 yards, no touchdowns.
Go get him.
Yeah, he's been horrendous. He hasn't started more than 5 games in a season. He's played 10 and 16.
All right, we're going to head over to the Sunday night game. Dallas Cowboys beat the Washington Redskins 31-16. Robert Griffin III, 19 of 39, 246 yards, no TDs and an interception. Tony Romo, 18 of 30, 170 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Interception probably came in the fourth quarter. Just saying. Alfred Morris, 16 rushes, 81 yards, one touchdown for the Redskins. Cowboys, DeMarco Murray, 7 rushes, 29 yards and a touchdown. Joseph Randle, 11 rushes, 17 yards, and found the end zone once also. Receiving stats, Pierre Garçon was big for the Redskins, 6 grabs for 69 yards. For the Cowboys, very, very pedestrian. Des Bryant, 5 for 36. The only touchdown went to Terrence Williams, who had 2 grabs for 27 yards. Heading on over to the Monday night game, bit of a shocker. San Diego beats out Indianapolis, 19-9.
That's a huge shocker. In my eyes, that was upset of the week. Okay. Absolutely upset of the week. You hold Andrew Luck to no touchdowns in a game.
Yeah.
And his first Monday night game, could have been some jitters, but I expected a lot more from Indy.
Yeah. 18 of 30, 202 yards, no touchdowns and an interception for Luck. 22 of 33, 237 yards and a touchdown for Phillip Rivers. Heading over to the rushing stats, Trent Richardson, this is pretty average for him so far this season. 10 rushes, 40 yards. For the Chargers, Ryan Matthews had himself a day, 22 rushes, 102 yards. Danny Woodhead, 9 rushes, 36 yards. No rushing touchdowns in this game whatsoever.
And Purple Jesus, who's in the chat room, has Danny Woodhead. Danny Woodhead's been a fantasy stud the entire season.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Receiving stats for the Colts, Reggie Wayne, 5 grabs, 88 yards. T.Y. Hilton, 5 grabs, 43 yards. Nobody else was even above 20 yards for the rest of the game. For the Chargers, Keenan Allen, 9 grabs, 170 yards and a touchdown. Danny Woodhead, 5 grabs, 47 yards. So Danny Woodhead actually had a decent game, almost 100 yards total. So not bad for him.
I told you Reggie Wayne wasn't going to have a big day, though. I just thought T.Y. Hilton was going to have a better day.
Okay. Well, you were not incorrect.
It wasn't right either.
Well, yeah, but you know, you still weren't wrong. Hold on a second here. I just lost the stats for the Thursday night game. What just happened here?
I can tell you right now, Seattle put a whooping on Arizona. The spread in that game was 7.5. As soon as I saw it, laughing.
Right.
Like, there was no reason. And the only reason why it was only 7.5 is because they were in Arizona. Russell Wilson had a day. Will's trying to pull up the stats.
There it goes. Seattle beat Arizona 34-22.
Shouldn't have even been that close.
No, Russell Wilson, 18 of 29, 235 yards, 3 touchdowns. Carson Palmer, 30 of 45, 258 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. Leading rusher for the Seahawks, guess who? Marshawn Lynch, 21 of 91, 1 touchdown. Rashad Mendenhall was the leading rusher for the Cardinals. This is almost laughable. 13 attempts, 22 yards, 1 touchdown.
Less than 2 yards a carry.
Yeah, it's about 1.7 apparently. Andre Ellington, 3 rushes, 3 yards. No. I guess that happens.
I swear, if you have a running back playing against Seattle, that's kryptonite.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Heading over to the receiving stats, Zach Miller, 5 grabs, 40 yards for the Seahawks, 1 touchdown. Golden Tate, 4 grabs, 77 yards. Sidney Rice, 3 grabs, 50 yards and a touchdown. And Kellen Davis, 1 grab, 1 yard, 1 touchdown. It's a good day for him, huh?
Yeah, Russell Wilson is impressive to me. He does nothing perfect, but he does nothing bad.
Right.
He's serviceable, he manages a game well, and he very rarely throws more than one interception a game.
Very true. And
in this game, he threw none.
Very true. Cardinals receiving stats. Robert Hausler, 7 grabs, 53 yards. Michael Floyd, 6 grabs, 71 yards.
Yep, kept him on the bench like an idiot.
Yep. Only touchdown of the day went to Jerron Brown, 2 grabs, 17 yards on top of that. And it was just a bad day. Even Larry Fitzgerald, 2 grabs for 17 yards. Not a good day for him. All right, so that wraps up the reviews of last week's games. We are going to head to a really quick break, as we normally do at this point. And when we come back, we're going to preview this week's games for you. This is Tattoos and Touchdowns, and we will be right back after this.
MoreLikeRadio.com, a new standard in internet radio.
Tattoos and Touchdowns.
Bless Sunny Show!
Mark out radio with Big T and Dark Fox.
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
The No Name Show.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Lust and Love Radio.
Ham Radio.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by Volume.
This is Unsigned with Jay Five.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
Sweet speakers with Lance and Kyle.
Whoa.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
It's the Red Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
Welcome to the Gentleman Show.
Welcome back to the Ellison Albert Show.
This is the Fifth Circle.
Talk Radio Meltdown.
Consume Radio.
The Nerd Hour.
All right, you're checking out the Cousin Joe Show on More Like Radio.
More Like Radio!
Welcome to the Sully Show. We're totally insane. We've got dumb asses and folks who are really lame. We got Sully on the soundboard, and Yell is rocking too. And JET the redneck, we're all here for you on the Sully Show. Welcome to the Sully Show, let's bring it to y'all. Shana-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-knees, please.
I want to hear you snore. Join us on the Sully Show live every Sunday, noon to 2 Eastern. On MoreLikeRadio.com.
MoreLikeRadio.com. Because mean people need to laugh too.
Welcome back. Tattoos and Touchdowns. MoreLikeRadio.com. Bringing you your NFL needs every Sunday from 10 a.m. to noon. We are now going to go into the previews of the week's games. Christopher, why don't you kick us off?
Well, last week we had the Pros versus Joe segment where we all went 3-2.
Okay.
And Will still has a stranglehold lead by 3 games. I'm actually pulling up all the information right now. So in the essence of live radio, please hold the line for dead air.
And go figure, we just came back from break.
Yeah. So dead air, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. All right, so Will's in first place. He's sitting at 20-10. Will doesn't lose many games when it comes to a pick'em.
Nah, I'm really good at picking winners. I just can't pick against the spread.
Well, this year you've gotten 2 against me. Well, anyway,
I got lucky.
I'm sitting at 17-13, so I still am only 3 games behind. And Joe is sitting at 16-14. Also was 3-2 last week. He wound up taking New England, which was right, and then he took Tennessee, which was wrong.
Well, I don't know how Tennessee lost. They should have won. They're from Tennessee. They should have won.
Okay.
Well, Joe, you're the only 10 I see, so how about
that?
Jeez. I should have said that.
I'm actually a bit surprised you didn't.
I know.
Anyway, all right. So, first game of the day. Of course, we're going to start with this one. New England on the road, 3.5-point favorites against the Jets.
And Gronk is back.
New England wins this game by about 14.
I could see New England. I would pick New England with the spread and straight up winner.
Yeah,
Gronkowski is going to come back and just go beast.
Yeah, this isn't a pros versus Joe game because we never pick Jets and Giants games for pros versus Joe.
Because I will always pick the Jets.
That's why I'm
so
not doing
it. So it's not fair. Just like I'll never pick the Packers.
Why won't you pick the Packers, Joe?
They're a bunch of fags.
There you go. Just in case everybody out there in Radio Land didn't
those
know.
Those guys. You want to keep the Packers off your lawn? Just paint an end zone there.
Well, not anymore because they're actually playing pretty well.
I've been coming here for a little over a year now, and it just never gets old. the Packers line never gets old.
No.
Anyway.
And we have to have it said at least once a show.
It's mandatory. Mandatory Josie.
That's right.
Hey, all right, so we have San... Jesus. San Diego on the road, 7.5-point favorites against Jacksonville. Jacksonville put up a fight last week against Denver.
I think that they...
I'll say Jacksonville covers the spread, but I still think San Diego wins this game.
I'm taking San Diego with the spread. I think Jacksonville just gassed themselves last week.
Okay, it's fair enough. Kansas City at home, 6.5-point favorites against Houston. Kansas City's going to win this game big.
Yeah, you can't... Kansas City, even with the spread, you can't bet against Kansas City's defense right now, and Houston's offense... It's just going to be non-existent again.
Case Keenum, I feel so bad. First start of the year, he's on the road.
Okay,
and he's playing the number one defense in the league.
Yeah,
way exactly. To go, Rook. Yeah, get in there. Strap in. First game for pros versus Joe.
That's me.
We have Detroit at home, 2.5-point favorites against the Bengals. So we got the Lions and the Bengals. Joe can kick us off.
Well, there's no doubt that Detroit is going to win this game. They're going to win this game because they're ghetto people. And ghetto people are very strong, and they will beat Tigers.
I have no idea what to say to that.
Well,
but there's Lions and Bengal Tigers.
But there's no Bears.
No, there's no Bears.
Oh, my.
But Detroit is a very depressed city. They really are depressed. And I think I picked them last week, too, didn't I?
You did.
You did.
And they won last week, too, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
That's because they're in a ghetto mode, man. And if they can't beat you, they'll knife you.
Okay.
Well, they do have Ndamukong Suh, so I can kind of see where
that
mentality is.
Ndamukong Suh with a kick you in the nuts and stomp on your head.
They all come from Harlem. Most of them.
Most of them? Most of them. All right, Will, who are you taking in this game?
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to beat my brain cancer right now.
It's okay.
I'm going with the Bengals.
Okay.
I think the Bengals got a better offense.
Well, there's one loss for you.
Oh, Jesus.
Joe's talking smack.
I tell you.
This is a really difficult game. Any game, like I've said before, anytime a team is only 3.5-point favorite.
Pick 'em, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much a pick 'em. I'm going to go with Cincinnati. I like Cincinnati this year. I think that Andy Dalton's going to have a big game. Again, Phil, listening, start him again. I just don't like Detroit's defense against that Cincinnati offense, so I'm going to go with Cincinnati as well. What happened?
When you look at Phil's other matchup, you may change your mind.
Who's his other matchup?
Well, his question last week was either Andy Dalton or Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford is going up against the Carolina Panthers.
I would still keep Andy Dalton in there.
Okay.
100%.
All right.
100%. Next game up is Miami at home. Not a pros versus Joe game. Miami at home, 7-point favorites against Buffalo. I take Miami in this game, given the touch.
I think Miami's the better team. Yeah.
100%. And Miami's coming off the bye last week.
Yes.
I'm Ron Burgundy. Voice inflection. Pros versus Joe game. The artist formerly known as the Washington Redskins, home against the Chicago Bears. I'll start us off. I'm taking the Bears in this game. I don't like Washington whatsoever this year. They were humiliated again last week against Dallas. I think Chicago's defense is better than Dallas's defense, and it's a pick'em game, even though we don't use spread in Pros versus Joe. Yeah, I'm going Chicago all the way.
Well, you are correct, sir, because Chicago will win this game. First of all, Washington Senators are a fucked up team. And number two, did you know an interesting bit of trivia that the Bears are the only team that have never changed their name and logo in football? They've always been the Bears.
They have always been the Bears, but they moved. Before they were the Bears, they were the Decatur Staleys, and then they moved to Chicago. But since in the original American football, pro football era, they've always been the Chicago Bears.
Yes, they have. And I admire loyalty, so I'm going with the Bears.
Fantastic.
All right. I would pick the Bears in this game also.
Yeah, you were all the same.
Okay. Yeah. We're all smart.
The next game, Philadelphia at Dallas. Philadelphia favored by It's Dallas at Philadelphia. Philadelphia favored by 3.
Yeah, I'm going to go, again, no Pros versus Joe game. I think this is actually a game for first place. They're both 3-3.
Yeah.
First place in the NFC East. I'm going to go Philly.
Really?
Yeah, I got Philly in this game at home. If they were in Dallas, I would take Dallas.
I'm taking Dallas. I think Dallas has the better offense overall, and I think their defense is also better.
Okay.
Even with Nick Foles doing what he's doing, I think he stumbles this week against the Cowboys.
That's fair enough. Okay, we have Carolina at home. 7-point favorites against St. Louis. Not a Pros versus Joe game. I will say Carolina's going to win this game. Sam Bradford did nothing against Houston last week. I mean, he did throw 3 touchdowns, but the yardage wasn't there, and I think Carolina's got a good defense this year. Yeah, I take Carolina in this game.
I really want to take St. Louis. I got to be honest with you. Okay. I don't like Carolina. I don't like him at all.
Carolina's streaky.
Yeah.
That's the main...
Yeah, and I think Cam Newton shot his load last week.
Okay. So, I hope to not hear about any of them in fantasy sit him this week.
Yeah, no, I don't intend to.
Yay! Okay. Pros versus Joe game. Atlanta at home. 6.5-point favorites against Tampa.
Tough game.
I will start us off. I'm taking the Falcons.
You'd kind of be crazy not to. I mean, the Broncos right now have been the laughingstock. Well, not the laughingstock, but
Buccaneers.
They've been atrocious. That's what I said, didn't it?
No, you said the Broncos.
Oh!
Right. Broncos have been far from a laughingstock, sir.
Very true, very true. Yeah, no, the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers have been just absolutely atrocious. Yeah, Atlanta wins this one easily.
Which team is wearing white?
Good Christ.
The Falcons, they're at home.
No, they're actually going to be wearing black at home. Tampa.
So Tampa is wearing white.
Yes.
Well, then I'm going to have to go with Tampa because, you know, they're very hard to see when they wear white. They miss that leg, you know, when they go to get the leg and it's just those white pants. And you know, they wear these, like, shiny pants now. They're like spandex or whatever they are. It makes a difference.
Okay.
You'd be surprised.
All right.
They're playing in Tampa, by the way?
No, they're in Atlanta.
Atlanta. Well, it's okay. Atlanta's pretty warm. It'll be all right. They don't wear pantyhose in Atlanta.
Oh, it's good to know.
Oh, no, there you go.
We got Sully and Punchy in the chat room now.
Oh.
They've
apparently doing show prep for that.
Yeah, they've taken over our chat room.
Uh-huh.
All about show prep. Hey, guys.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks.
Anywho, San Francisco 3.5-point favorites. Excuse me, on the road against Tennessee. I'm going to take San Francisco in this game.
Yeah, I'm taking San Francisco in that one also. I agree.
All right. Green Bay at home 9.5-point favorites against Cleveland. See, this is one of those games. If it's straight up pick 'em, I'm taking Green Bay.
Yeah.
If it's with the spread, I'm taking Cleveland. So if this is a spread based pick right now, I'm taking Cleveland.
Spread based pick, I would still take Green Bay. I think Green Bay wins this one by 10. I don't think Brendan. I don't trust Brendan Whedon all that much anymore. I was big on him. I thought he was going to be good, but I've lost all trust in him.
Okay, It's fair enough. Pittsburgh, pros versus Joe game. Pittsburgh at home, 2.5-point favorites against Baltimore. Will, start us off.
Pittsburgh versus Baltimore right now. Granted, Pittsburgh's coming off their first win against the Jets. I think Baltimore overall is a better team. Baltimore wins this game, even covering the spread.
Okay.
Yeah.
Joe?
Well, who's playing again?
Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh's wearing black. Baltimore's wearing white.
Isn't Baltimore wear purple? Their color is purple.
That's one of the
purple
colors,
or right? Black, yes.
Purple, yeah, purple is the color of royalty, you know. It really is. So I'm going to go with the Baltimore because they're royal. And I have no other reason but that.
He says I have no other reason.
No.
Well, dare to be different. I'm taking Pittsburgh.
Ooh.
All right.
Pittsburgh at home to roll two in a row. I think something clicked last week, and sometimes the best medicine is having that little bit of a bye, going on the road, beating a team that shouldn't be the record that they are. The Jets have a very deceiving 3-3. And then coming home for some home cooking in a divisional game.
Okay.
Pittsburgh gets the win.
All right. Fair enough.
And the last game of pros versus Joe.
Ooh.
Denver on the road, 6.5-point favorites against Indy. Joe, start us off.
Oh, I know this because I had a Denver omelet this morning. So it's an omen. I'm going with Denver. What is a Denver omelet anyway?
I ate it.
No idea.
Well, it's eggs with something. My wife told me it was a Denver omelet. I've never been to Denver, so I don't know.
It's a bend over omelet.
It's an omelet with rat poison, Joe. That's
I told Joe it looks like two eggs and a hanky.
Jesus. I had a Denver omelet this morning. What the hell is a Denver omelet? I have no idea.
Scrambled eggs and shrapnel.
Horse testicles, man. I like Denver in this game.
Okay.
I really do. Picking with the spread, though, I'm going to go Indianapolis. Because I think Andrew Luck is going to prove that, yeah, you may have paved the way for me here, but there's a new sheriff in town, and I'm going to do everything you could, possibly even better.
For pros versus Joe, you're taking Denver, though.
I'm taking Denver for pros versus Joe.
So, before I get to my pick, how have I done so far in my Pigskin Prophecy this year on this show? Not on Ham Radio. Shouts to Ham Radio, but on this show.
You've probably picked 2 out of 3, correct?
Okay. Indianapolis is going to win this game. That's my prophecy, first of all. My first of the week. Andrew Luck is going to have more receiving, more passing yards than Peyton Manning this week in this game.
It's a bold statement.
I'm going to say Andrew Luck throws for 350. But Peyton Manning is going to throw for more touchdowns than Andrew Luck. So it's all-encompassing one. That's the first one this week, the first prophecy. Indianapolis is going to win the game. They're actually going to win the game by 3.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to say it's going to be a high-scoring game. I'm going to say 35-32, 35-31 type of game.
Okay. Okay.
Andrew Luck's going to throw for more passing yards than Peyton Manning in the game. And Andrew Luck's going to throw for over 350. And Peyton Manning's going to have more passing touchdowns than Andrew Luck in this game.
See, I would go the other way with that. I would think Peyton Manning would have more passing yards. And Andrew Luck would have more passing touchdowns because, let's face it, their running game is even with Trent Richardson, has been non-existent. So I would think it would be the other way. But I am not the pigskin prophecy.
I think Trent Richardson has a good day. I really do.
Von Miller's back, man.
He's also been out for 6 games.
Yeah.
It takes everybody, and we've seen this, it takes everybody. I could put this down now. Pros versus Joe is done. It takes everybody a couple of games to get settled. And I think Trent Richardson finally is settled. He doesn't have Ahmad Bradshaw behind him anymore because he's hurt. What a surprise. But, yeah. So, anybody listening, Indianapolis wins the game. Andrew Luck has more yards passing. Peyton Manning has more touchdowns. That's the first one. The second one's coming up in our last game of the week before we get to the following Thursday.
Right. New York Giants.
At home.
At home against Minnesota. Giants are actually favored by 3.5. That's
a pick 'em.
Yeah.
That's a pick 'em.
Yeah, yeah.
Josh Freeman starting for Minnesota tomorrow. My final prophecy of the week. Giants get their first win at home. Eli Manning throws for 350 yards and doesn't throw an interception.
You're crazy.
I'm sorry. I'm going for it.
You're crazy.
Throws between 3 and 350, no interceptions. It's going to be the best game of the season. It'll be the best game he has all year. Sorry it has to come against Purple Jesus' Minnesota Vikings.
I do agree with you. I do agree with you. And I think that the Giants will win this game because I think Eli Manning is going to be just... The Minnesota defense is not good. It's not. And that's really what's holding them back.
And they're in offensive turmoil right now.
Right. While I do think the Giants win this game, I think Josh Freeman is going to have a very good game.
Okay.
Okay. I think he came to Minnesota with something to prove. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He wants to show that he can hang and bang in this NFL. I think Adrian Peterson is going to come back to form. Okay, I think he's going to have at least 100 yards rushing.
Mm-hmm.
Probably at least a touchdown. I mean, against the Giants defense, it's really not that hard. But yeah, I mean, I would say the Giants win, but Minnesota's going to keep it close.
Okay, so that's my second one of the week. Eli Manning throws for over 300 yards, no interceptions, and Giants win their first game of the year tomorrow. And it'll be the best game Eli Manning has all season. Next week, we have the Thursday night game, like we always like to set up for. An opening line spread for a Week 8 game when two teams haven't played each other. I don't know how the hell they do this one. Carolina on the road, 4.5-point favorites against Tampa. I think Tampa loses this week, depending upon how Carolina does. Just looking at it, flipping a coin, it's very hard to prep a game that two teams still have a game to play.
Right.
I'll go Carolina just because of record. Carolina just looks better than Tampa.
Yeah, yeah. I don't disagree with that at all.
And way to go, stupid. Imagine how good Darrelle Revis would have been on the Jets defense this year.
It would have been a beast. Would have been absolutely a beast. But it was a bit of a cancer. He was a bit? In the locker room.
Yeah, he was a lot more than a bit.
So I can understand why they did it. And you know what? Now he's playing in Tampa, and he's doing worse than the Jets.
He doesn't have mercy yet.
Surprisingly enough.
Yet.
Just saying, you notice he went down to Tampa, and all of a sudden Mercer breaks out?
Yeah, I think he's the carrier.
Wow. All right, so we've now covered our previews. We've done our previews. We've done our reviews. Next is going to be a little bit of fantasy, so we are going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com. We'll see you in a couple.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcast. Oh, boy.
I told you.
Yeah, I was trying to warn you the whole time.
Dude, I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No. Mm-hmm. Dude, like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night. But he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not? Use this into a promo. I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used drunk me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Punch JJ, it. You play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420. Only on morelikeradio.com.
Hey,
Hey man, when you need to look your finest, what do you do?
Well, I grab my favorite t-shirt, of course.
You know, I just knew you were gonna say that, and I was gonna ask, have you ever checked out T-Fury?
I think so. That's the website with the new t-shirt every day, right?
That's the one. At T-Fury.com, there's a brand new t-shirt design every day, and each one lasts for only 24 hours, then it's gone forever.
So it's tea today, gone tomorrow?
Exactly.
That's a lot of t-shirts. Where do they all come from?
Well, each design is submitted by a freelance artist, so no two are exactly alike. And the best part? All these tees feature nothing but nerd references. Whether it's movies, TV shows, video games, cartoons, comics, or culture, they're all awesome. And get this, each tee is just 11 bucks.
Dude, it looks like I need to update my wardrobe. What's that website again?
Just use tinyurl.com/MLRTees. That's tinyurl.com/MLRTEES. Each limited edition tee lasts for only 24 hours, so get over there before time runs out.
Check out today's T-Fury design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTees.
High Society Radio is now part of morelikeradio.com.
Who's all part of the More Like Radio cavalcade of stars? Who are you joining there?
Oh, well, Hippo Juice, they're the soul behind More
right.
Like Radio. And we're jumping on there. High Society Radio, that is.
What other kind of shows are over there, though?
Oh, there's plenty. There's just a roster that's ridiculous. There's 360 on 420.
Mm-hmm.
There's a gentleman show. There's Ain't Social Gamer Radio. There's the Red Show. There's Daytime Divas.
Okay, so you're not out there by yourself in the cold anymore.
No.
You're fucking with...
a family.
Yeah, a real family. A family of gangsters.
Take the edge off. MoreLikeRadio.com. It's like rap music you can understand.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Do you have an unusual growth on your genitals? Did your significant other dump you? Lust and Love, where we might not be able to help you, but at least we'll get a good laugh at your expense.
Lust and Love, Mondays from 10 to midnight on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Join Marianne and Kitty on Daytime Divas, where Marianne's milkshake brings all the creepers to the yard, and their life is better than yours, damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge. Daytime Divas, Thursdays at 8 a.m. on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Tattoos and Touchdowns, MoreLikeRadio.com. Every Sunday, all your football needs right here from 10 a.m. to 12. Taking you right into the pregame shows. Well, the allegedly professional pregame shows. But, you know, who needs them when you got us?
Yeah, actually, we lead you right into paying your bookie.
Bookie, B-O-O-K-I-E.
Yes.
So, all right. We are now going to go into our fantasy segment. We're actually running quick now. We were running behind. Now we're speeding up.
We got time.
Time to pump the brakes a little bit. Maybe we'll get a little in-depth with the fantasy today.
Yay.
So... as you know, every week we do our Start 'Em and Sit 'Em segment. Just real quick, we'll get into our league later on. Start 'Em and Sit 'Em, Chris. Who's your start for quarterbacks this week?
Eli Manning.
Really?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Not sleeper. Wow. Start him. Start him against Minnesota. Cam Newton had a day against him. Other quarterbacks in this league have had a day against Minnesota's defense. I'm going Eli Manning this week.
Wow. I have no idea what to say.
Hate is going to hate.
I have no idea what to say. I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
I hope I'm right, too. I think some of the nonsense I've been spewing about fantasy is the reason why I'm 2-4. Hey, shit's got to stick sometime.
I'm going to say Tony Romo against the Eagles. I think he's going to have a good day. Is he going to throw his interception? Yeah, it's almost mandatory.
Mandatory Romo.
Requisite Romo, we'll call it.
Requisite Romo, there you go.
Requisite Romo's interception. Probably going to come in the fourth quarter, as it usually does.
Purple Jesus, hashtag that for us. Hashtag requisite Romo.
But yeah, I think Romo's going to have a good day.
That's a safe play, though. Philly's defense is horrendous.
Yeah. You want to do sit first, and then we'll do sleeper?
Absolutely.
All right.
My sit of the week is going to be Geno Smith. Against New England's defense, I think Geno has a terrible day today, even more so than he had last week against Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Don't. If you need Geno Smith because you either have Drew Brees just saying he's on a bye this week, see if you could scrape someone up. Don't start Geno Smith.
All right. My set of the week is going to be Cam Newton. Done. He had his week. He had a monster week. He's not going to maintain that. Let's see. Who you got for a sleeper?
My sleeper of the week is going to be Jay Cutler.
Okay.
I think Jay Cutler has a monster day. He's had a monster season.
Yeah, he really has.
But I already know you're looking at me wondering. I don't think he's going to have a better week than Peyton.
No.
Okay. No. So, start Peyton Manning.
Listen, I've got Jay Cutler on my fantasy team. I got Peyton Manning on my fantasy team. The only time Jay Cutler is ever... There's two times Jay Cutler is going to start for my team. Peyton Manning's bye week, and Peyton Manning is injured.
Peyton Manning's dead.
Right. Well, yeah, because, you know, Peyton Manning won't sit out otherwise. You know what? This is going to sound kind of funny, because as my start of the week, I picked Tony Romo. My sleeper, Nick Foles.
It could be a very offensive game.
I think it's going to be a very offensive game. You know, Nick Foles has been putting up some great numbers. I think he's going to be able to put up not great numbers, but he's going to put up some good numbers against a pretty decent Dallas defense.
It's fair. Absolutely fair.
So, the bye weeks this week are the Raiders and the Saints, by the way.
Okay, it was cool. I knew the Saints. I just couldn't remember the Raiders.
All right, so now let's head over to the running back position. Who are you starting this week?
I'm starting D'Angelo Williams against St. Louis. D'Angelo... Not the R&B singer, but D'Angelo Williams has had a good career in general, but he's always flown under the radar. And now with Jonathan Stewart hurt for, I think, the whole season, I don't consider Tolbert there a legit running back. He's a fullback.
Right.
D'Angelo Williams against a subpar St. Louis defense that surrendered 141 on the ground to Arian Foster. I think D'Angelo Williams has about a buck 10 and a touch.
All right. Fair enough. I'm going to start Fred Jackson against the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins win this game, but I think Fred Jackson is going to have himself a good day. Probably reaches 100 yards.
Okay. It's fair enough.
I don't expect much more out of any of the... Let's face it, the Bills have no quarterback.
No.
So it's going to be Fred Jackson all day. Who would you like to sit down?
As much as I think they're going to win, Le'Veon Bell. I don't like running backs. It's two teams I don't want to put a running back up against. Baltimore is one, Seattle is the other, and now Kansas City's starting to kick the door down to be that other defense.
Starting to kick the door down?
Yeah. I'm not sold. Listen, they're 6-0.
Splintered the frame, for Christ's sake.
I don't like Le'Veon Bell against Baltimore's defense. I think if Pittsburgh wins that game, it's going to be through the air. So, yeah, I'm sitting Le'Veon Bell.
All right. I'm sitting McGahee. I'm sitting Willis McGahee. He's going against the Packers. Packers got a very good linebacking core, even without Clay Matthews.
Right.
He's not going to get past the line. So Willis McGahee could have a seat. Who's your sleeper?
Joseph Randall.
Okay.
He's starting for the injured DeMarco Murray. I tried everything in my power to pick him up. And every league, he was the first waiver pickup of the week.
I'm sure.
Yeah. I think Joseph Randall has a big day against... Not so much a big day. Let me say 75 yards on the ground. Maybe a touchdown. But if you're in a three-back league, that's serviceable. And... Yeah, I just don't like Philly's defense anywhere. So I'll definitely take Joseph Randall.
All right. I'm picking Brandon Jacobs.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I have him in two leagues. Hope you're right.
I think Brandon Jacobs is going to be able to do some damage, even with the Giants signing of Peyton Hillis. I don't think Hillis is going to see the field really this week.
What a weird... Like, if this was 3 years ago and they got Peyton Hillis and John Beeson, you'd be looking at Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Now, it's just like, it's strange. But I like the Peyton Hillis pickup.
Yeah. Well,
it's different.
We'll talk about that after we do the fantasy thing. All right. But yeah, I think Brandon Jacobs is going to have himself a decent day. Probably gets another 100 yards. Probably sees the end zone at least once.
I just hope he stays healthy. Because he's already dinged up from the 100 yard from last week.
120 yards last week, yeah. So, I you know what? I saw some things that were positive, and it looked like the Giants' offensive line was finally starting to gel together and making some holes. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be a positive thing. I think they can carry that on for the remainder of the season. I hope, fingers crossed. But I think it's going to wind up meaning some good things for some Giants running backs. The wide receiver position. Who are we starting this week, Chris?
Start of the week, Hakeem Nicks.
Okay.
He had a great week last week. I'm expecting it to get better for him. Like I've said, I don't like the Minnesota defense, even though I'm starting them in two of my leagues. Again, probably
no,
why I'm...
No other choice?
I asked for Poly Prep in Brooklyn. They wouldn't let me take any of their stats. Sorry. Honestly, they're the best that's of what's available okay. in both leagues. I think Hakeem Nicks has a 110-yard receiving day.
All right. If I had to pick a Giants receiver, I would have picked Victor Cruz. Because,
of course you would have.
No.
Kidding.
Because Hakeem Nicks had such a good week last week, they kind of flip-flop and alternate.
Right.
I mean, honestly, I think you could expect good things from all three Giants receivers, Cruz, Nicks, and Ruben Randle. But I'm saying T.Y. Hilton against the Broncos.
Ooh. Okay.
Not just because he's on my team. I think that Andrew Luck is going to be able to do some things. I think Reggie Wayne's going to wind up getting a bulk of the double coverage, which is going to leave T.Y. open.
I could definitely see that.
So, who are you sitting down?
Andre Johnson.
Oh, why do you have to hurt me like that?
Andre Johnson against Kansas City's defense with a rookie quarterback. I think that Case Keenum's going to target DeAndre Hopkins a little bit more. I think Andre Johnson suffers without having a Matt Schaub there and a stout Kansas City secondary.
Okay. All right. I'm going to sit Torrey Smith against the Steelers. He's really kind of fallen off the last couple of weeks.
Well, now you're just being rude. Like, you know I have Torrey Smith, so.
I completely forgot you had Torrey Smith, actually. That's pretty funny.
You're going to sit one of my guys. I sit one of your guys.
Big dummy. No, but yeah, no, I just don't think Torrey Smith is going to have that good a day against the Steelers defense.
Are we getting paged here on the Skype line?
No. No, we are not.
Fine, be that way, people.
Who's your sleeper?
Harry Douglas. And the reason why I'm picking Harry Douglas is because Julio Jones is done for the year. Roddy White is hurt. And I will never pick Tony Gonzalez for anything.
Yeah, we know. We know. Okay. If you heard last week, you know exactly why. If not,
and I apologize for everybody for my potty mouth last week, yeah. But I was in the heat of the moment.
Yes. If you're new to Tattoos and Touchdowns and this is your first show, go back into the morelikeradio.com downloads, find last week's Tattoos and Touchdowns, and you'll hear exactly what Chris had to say.
And
about
if you have
Tony
any
Gonzalez.
Kids around, just keep hitting a bleep button.
Yeah, just cough really loud or something.
Just use the word thank for everything. Anytime I make a noise, just say thank. Yeah, I like Harry Douglas this week, man. If Roddy White does play, Darrell Revis will have Roddy White, which means Harry Douglas is going to be in high demand, and they have nobody else. I think they signed Brian Robisky 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
They have nothing else. Jaquizz Rodgers is going to be big for them this week as well, and so is Jason Snelling. But, yeah, I like Harry Douglas as my sleeper. Who do you have?
Keenan Allen against the Jaguars. He's been putting up some big numbers the last couple of weeks. He's over 200 yards, has a couple of touchdowns. He's going up against the Jacksonville defense.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you jokingly call them the no-names defense, not comparing them to the 72.
No.
Dolphins defense, which was just amazing. But these guys are, they just got awful. Absolutely got awful. And I think they're going to get picked apart. Tight ends.
Yes, thank you. Anyway, my start of the week is Martellus Bennett.
And by the way, you really had to see the face Chris put on when he said that. It was creepy.
Thank you. I have Martellus Bennett against the Washington Redskins. I like Martellus matching up with that linebacking core that's been non-existent.
Yeah.
That defense has been a sieve all season. I'm going Martellus.
Okay. I'm picking Kyle Rudolph against the Giants.
You're not alone. There's a lot of people that think Kyle Rudolph's going to go apeshit this week.
Yeah. You know what? Josh Freeman, we haven't been sold on him as a quarterback for quite some time. He's coming to a new team. He's had a week and a half to learn the new offense. I think he's going to be looking for his safety blanket all day, and it's going to be Kyle Rudolph. Somebody fart?
No, that was my phone.
Oh, all right. I was going to say that was kind of a talented. Who are you sitting in the tight end position?
Jeff Cumberland. Kellen Winslow's hurt. Kellen Winslow's suspended. He just hurt Jet fans. Cumberland's been serviceable this year, but I think New England puts him on lockdown. As you've seen my developing trend, who my sit of the week is on certain things, and who my start is, I don't think Cumberland has a big day.
Okay. All right. I am going to sit Joseph Fourier against the Bengals.
Why wouldn't you? He only had 1 week.
Yeah.
If anything, they got Pettigrew. So, I mean.
Yeah. I think. I just don't see Furrier doing really good things against the Bengals defense.
It's a safe bet by Will.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Who's your sleeper?
That's a good question.
Well, while you think of yours, I could say mine.
Yeah.
I'll give you a second here. I'm going Brent Celek. I'm going to go Brent Celek against Dallas.
Okay.
We're going to ride that train constantly. I really like the idea of Nick Foles. You could see the theme that Will and I have been having. It's been subpar quarterback or rookie quarterback looking for his security blanket. He needs his blankie.
Yeah.
So I think Brent Celek is Nick Foles' blankie.
All right. Colby Fleener against the Broncos.
And a lot of people are saying to sit him, and you're going for the route of sleeper. That's cool. I like that.
I think T.Y. is going to have a good game, but I think his only other option is going to be underneath, and I think he's going to have to go to his tight end. So, because, again, Trent Richardson isn't really doing anything with the ball as far as rushing is concerned. So, you know, you're going to need that other option.
Run to defense?
You want to go to defense or kickers?
All right, yeah, we'll go to the mopeds. That's
fine.
Hold on
a second because my computer's frozen.
Yeah, we'll go mopeds.
All right.
My start of the week for the kicker, well, my start, there's no sleepers in kickers, is Caleb Sturgis, Miami, against Buffalo. Dude don't miss.
Right.
Like, he doesn't miss.
Yeah, he's been amazing.
He's been automatic.
Ooh. That was a bad 80s song.
All right.
I'm just saying.
These things happen.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, you know. Dan Bailey. Another guy. Doesn't miss. And I'm thinking he's probably going to have at least two or three extra points, maybe two or three field goals.
Okay.
Against the Eagles.
I'm sitting Randy Bullock for the Texans against Kansas City.
Okay.
Because I think Houston, excuse me, I'm so sorry. I think Houston has about 7 points this week.
All right. Greg Zuerlein against the Panthers. I think he's only going to be good for a couple of points with extra points. I don't think he's really going to get much else.
Okay.
So, head on over to the defense. Hey, look, it worked this time. Yay.
Ray technology.
Patriots against the Jets.
Okay. Fair.
It's just they have a, they traditionally have a good defense. Geno Smith struggled last week. I think he's finally coming back down to earth. Excuse me, my throat grows dry. Yeah, I just think the Patriots are just going to not pick them apart, but they're really going to hold them down and do some damage.
I'm starting Pittsburgh against Baltimore. Ray Rice has done nothing all season. He's had a terrible season, and I should know. He's on one of my fantasy teams. Pittsburgh's been very good against the run for like since forever. I'm gonna go Pittsburgh, and that piggybacks off the pros versus Joe thing, and I think Pittsburgh wins this game. But I'm gonna go with the defense.
Okay, who are you sitting?
Minnesota's defense, even though I can't. Minnesota's defense, yeah. When I think on the way home, I'm gonna have to try to make that swap, but whatever.
Nice.
I think again, Eli Manning picks him apart.
Hey, look at that! Look who's on the NFL Network, Brett Favre.
Yeah,
I think he's announcing his comeback.
Yeah, of course he is. Awful.
I'm sitting down the Texans defense against the Chiefs.
Oh yeah, yeah. Man. There's a lot of good sits this week.
At this point, the Texans defense is just not even serviceable as a unit.
Which is sad because of how great they were last year.
Yeah, and you got Brian Cushing, J.J. Watt. I mean, you got a bunch of really good players on there.
You know, I love that team.
I know you do.
And it's just
the last 2 years you've picked them to make your Super Bowl, and yeah, it's not happening this year.
It's definitely not happening this year.
They teased you last year.
I'm rolling Seattle strong right now to make that Super Bowl. I agree with 110% with you. You have to sit the Houston defense this week.
Not worth. Not even really worth a roster spot anymore.
No, because I did have him. I dropped him.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, here we are. It's 11:30. I just want to take one quick break because apparently Chris and I are having some dry throat issues.
And which is weird. I haven't drank water the entire time. Perfectly fine.
Right.
Start drinking water. Throat issues.
Go figure.
Bizarro world.
All right, so as we're done choking here, Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com. We'll be back after a couple moments.
The Conte and Kenny Show presents Fart Wars.
Yeah, but I think Beverly did it to me first, and that's right. We were in bed, and then she kind of not doing anything, but just sleeping, and she was like, she kind of warned me. She was like, oh, and I'm like, what's wrong? She goes, oh. And then I just went, you have no idea what you have just opened up. You have woken a sleeping giant. You have.
My asshole is the USA.
Dude, I'm telling you. She had her cute little Japanese fucking pilots come in and made a little explosion on this dopey little island outside of Hawaii.
Little pearl.
Oh, yeah. Oh, big explosion.
She pearl.
Oh, yeah. And,
and I she said, pearl harbored
she
the
pearl
bed.
She pearl harbored the bed. And then I yak a flats the rest of her life.
She Pearl Harbored. You know, it's her fault. She Pearl Harbored. She Pearl
The Conte and Kenny Show, Monday nights, 7 to 10, on morelikeradio.com.
Did somebody bet me how many washcloths I could fit in my butt, or did I do this just for fun?
I'm sorry, ham radio, but you left me no other choice. I called the FCC.
Don't have a tighter chance of being successful on radio, you idiot!
We're tired of you infecting people with your smut. This is an epidemic, and it must be contained.
I will not have it happening in my own house.
Fuck you and everyone else. People freaking love us. We're gonna be huge.
This is ham radio, because once you go ham, fuck everything else.
This is Ham Radio. Be part of the problem, not part of the solution. Tuesdays, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Here on...
Bringing internet radio to the next level. It's not FM. It's not XM. It's more like radio. Are you ready?
Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com, every Sunday, 10 a.m. to noon, bringing you all the NFL you need to know. We are going to go into, kind of expand our fantasy segment a little bit, but it also kind of ties into everything else. We're looking up the early inactives for the week, team by team. We'll start off with Dallas at Philly. Dallas has no inactive players to report. Philly, who we got there?
Well, James Casey is going to be active. James Casey is the backup to Brent Celek, so if Celek gets dinged up, he would come in. Patrick Chung, Chris Polk, obviously Michael Vick, they're all inactive. Jason Peters is active for Philly. He's an offensive tackle. That's good for the running game. Just really looking through, there's no other game except for, of course, the Jets-Patriot game. Brady Quinn's inactive.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. I have to go change my bet now. obviously, Santonio Holmes is inactive, and Willie Campbell, offensive guard, is inactive. Other than that, I'm going to keep monitoring this for the last 20 minutes of the show just to see. There's nothing else that's gone through yet. Keep on the Jets, though. Last week, what happened, Kellen Winslow was suspended for PEDs.
Yeah,
and
yeah, again.
We didn't get a chance to talk about that last week. You had, you know the memes, you had one job?
Right.
You had one more chance. You've done so many bad things, and now, really? How do you do that?
No. What was the PED he was caught with? I mean, was it something that could be?
No, you can't.
No.
You can't kind of sidestep this one. He even turned around and said, "Wow, I'm surprised I tested positive." Are you really?
Wow.
I'm surprised I tested positive. How about I shouldn't have done this because no other team wanted me because I've been banged up in damaged goods?
Well, you know, it's extremely stupid on his part. He finally got his chance, and he was playing well with the Jets.
17 receptions, 169 yards, and 2 touchdowns. That's not bad.
Not at all. Not at all, and you're only really 4 games into the season, and, you know,
he's eligible to come back November 4th. They're actually home against the Saints. It's just...
He's really, I mean, you know, surprisingly enough, he's only losing about $200,000. For 4 games.
When you're making the league minimum.
Yeah.
The veteran minimum.
Yeah.
No bueno. And he's only 30 years old. There's just been so many major issues that he's run into.
And you know what's really sad? He was finally healthy. He was finally healthy for a good part of the season. Not saying he couldn't have suffered an injury in a couple of weeks, but finally healthy. That's what's really plagued him his entire career, his injury. And now, something stupid.
Yeah.
Extremely, extremely stupid. Just looking to try to find out what exactly it was. It doesn't say exactly what he was taking. But Rex Ryan quoted as saying, "I'd rather not get into it, but I excused him. I'll just say that." So...
I'm actually... Not to beat a dead horse with the Jet thing. I'm actually impressed by Rex Ryan this year so far.
He's kind of shut up and done the right thing, yeah.
Perfect, yes. He's kept his mouth shut, and it's about time. If he could have done this last year before, he probably wouldn't be fighting for his job. It would just be he had bad people around him. It happens.
Let me ask you this now. We're going into week 7. We're almost at the midseason point.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the Jets' performance this season and Rex Ryan's performance this season, if you're Woody Johnson, do you extend this contract?
No.
Why not?
He wants him out.
Why not?
I don't care.
I don't care what the real Woody Johnson is. I'm talking about you. You're Woody Johnson.
No. I want to change.
Okay.
I appreciate his defensive mind. We need an offensive coach. This team has lacked an offensive coach for as long as I've been alive. Okay. Rich Kotite wasn't an offensive coach. He wasn't even a coach. He sucked. He was great for the Eagles. He was terrible here. Pete Carroll was a terrible coach for us. Eric Mangini was the only one worth a damn, and I didn't even like Herm Edwards either.
And they played well on the Herm, too.
Yeah, nothing has ever come together the right way, and every coach has still fit that defensive mold and frame of mind. We need an offensive coach. We need a real offensive coach.
All right, fair enough.
Like Will touched on earlier today, Gronkowski is active against the Jets. I'm almost thinking I want to change my sleeper pick now.
Is Gronkowski really, I mean, granted it's his first game, but is he really a sleeper?
Yeah. Because who knows? Let me ask you this question. You have a fantasy team, and you have Gronkowski and Martellus Bennett. You took Bennett to be your starter, but you grabbed Gronkowski late because no one was going to take him. Do you take the chance on him today, knowing this is his first game back?
Absolutely.
Okay.
He's been practicing the last couple of weeks. If you've been listening to the reports all week, everybody's been saying he's been absolute monster at practice the last few weeks. And really, he was just being held back because he didn't have the clearance from his doctors. You know, so he didn't get the clearance from his doctors, so he couldn't get the clearance from the team doctors. Now everybody's kind of in agreement. Yeah, he's good enough to play.
Right.
It's Rob Gronkowski. The Patriots held him out. Well, he was held out for a reason, and that reason is he's a stud. He's a stud at the position. He's going to come back. It's going to look like he never left.
Right. And say what you will about New... Well, I'll say what I will about New England. But they do things the right way. Belichick is not worried about what the media is going to think of him. And the reason why I'm saying that is the injury to RG3 and the way they rushed him back. And you could see it's taking a toll this year on RG3's overall numbers and the team's overall numbers.
Right.
No, it's all right. We'll sit him. You know, we'll sit Gronkowski. We'll take our lumps. We got enough people around him. I think Kirk Cousins would have been fine. I'm not saying he's RG3, but he looked good last year when they put him in.
Yeah.
So, I think Gronkowski's going to have a good day.
All right.
Damn it. This just came over on ESPN.com by Adam Schefter. This is interesting, and we're going to talk about this for a little bit because we got a few more minutes. Dallas Cowboys are projected to be at least $31 million over the salary cap next year.
Wow.
Cowboys will face what one NFL executive called a train wreck in terms of their salary issues. I'll just fast track through this. If Dallas is $31 million over the cap, it would be $13 million more than the next closest team, which is the New Orleans Saints. Apparently, Dallas's salary cap situation got even worse when they released former Pro Bowl defensive tackle Jay Ratliff, who's going to count for almost $7 million against the cap next year. That's what you'll see. Like if you play Madden and you release somebody, it says, well, you know, you'll save this much this year, but you'll have a cap hit of.
Right.
So he's going to be $7 million against the cap next year. That's massive.
Yeah, that's a huge hit. You were paying him a ton of money for a guy who was at the end of his career. He was locked in for, I believe, if I remember correctly, it was about $18 million.
And they just gave tremendous extensions to Tony Romo, Sean Lee, Jason Witten, and Miles Austin. You could actually get that on ESPN.com, Adam Schefter, and you could even go to ESPN Dallas. That's rough, man. That's rough.
Dallas has to make their run this year, otherwise I'm not going to do it.
Just going to say, it took the words right out of my mouth. Dallas needs to make their run now. It's a win now team. Witten's going to be gone in a couple of years.
Which is going to hurt Romo. Romo probably doesn't have much longer either.
Well, he just got that extension.
Yeah, but you got to think, he's only maybe got 4 more years. He's been in the league for what, 12 now?
No. No way. Let me see. If you're right, kudos to you, sir. But
I think he's been around for a minute. I don't remember exactly how long, but he's been around for a little while.
Favorite place in the world, Pro Football Reference.
3-time Pro Bowler.
He's 33.
So 12 isn't a completely out there number.
Why does it have, like, no stat? Damn you, Pro Football Reference.
It's got stats.
Oh, 2004.
All right.
But he didn't play. So he started playing in 2006.
All right. So 2004. So he's been playing 10 years.
Right.
All right. You know. According to Price is Right rules, I lost. But, you know, really can't take too much against me.
Womp, 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 womp.
So 10 years. Didn't play for 2 years. Thirty-three years old, you're kind of old for a quarterback, especially in the NFC East.
Oh, yeah.
Granted, not so much this year, but every year before that, the NFC East was just big linebackers, big hits, a lot of sacks on the quarterback. So he's taking his hits.
Right.
You know? So, I don't know. I don't think he... I'll give him maybe 5 years left in the league.
This also just coming down the wire. Aqib Talib will not play against the Jets this week.
That's big.
It's very big. Just too bad the Jets don't have a wide receiver where it would make a bit of difference.
Well, they got Jeff Cumberland.
Will make a bit of difference. Anyway. Terrible.
Yeah, wow. It's still a big... It's a big hit for the Patriots. I don't think it's going to do anything to really kind of hinder their progress.
And we also have Jake Locker is going to start today for Tennessee.
Oh, is he really?
Yes. So maybe they won't have to worry about the quarterback having as many rushing yards as the running backs.
Yeah, but you know what? Ryan Fitzpatrick has actually done a pretty serviceable job in his place. Probably a better job, really.
Yeah.
Why go back to Jake Locker?
Because they want to win with Locker. Fitzpatrick is just there.
But they're not going to win. They're not going to win with Locker.
I've been saying that, but whatever. What do I know? I'm just a jerk with a radio show.
All right. Am I a jerk too?
Yay! Yes, you are.
Fantastic.
We're both jerks. Apparently, there's going to be a protest in DC for DC radio stations about the Washington Redskins.
This is something we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. So, yeah, let's go. What's this protest going to be about?
According to ESPN.com, the author of the article is John Kelm. You can find it on ESPN.com's front page. Two Washington, D.C. radio stations won't run ads protesting the Washington Redskins nickname, a decision that surprised and disappointed the leading advocates behind the movement. CBS Radio Washington informed the Oneida Indian Nation on Friday that their ads will not air this weekend. Oneida is running a national Change the Mascot campaign. But the senior vice president of CBS Radio Washington, his name is Steve Swenson, said in an email that heavy discussion on the topic on Sports Talk WJFK led to the decision.
You know what?
Is this really happening?
Apparently. It is ridiculous. They got to stop with this. You know, I could see if it was a brand new team in the league. You know, I could see if the team was maybe 4 or 5 years old, you know, when it was something that was really truly offensive. But the team's been around for 81 years, man. They were the Boston Braves. Now they're the Washington Redskins. Stop. Every Native American out there, you have a very rich history. You are Native Americans we are called Native Americans for a reason. You were here before all of my ancestors. You were here before all of Chris's ancestors. You were here before all of Joe's ancestors, which really is only about a generation removed. But,
he didn't hear you.
No. But it's not offensive. I don't think it's offensive at all, and I've spoken to people who have Native American blood in them, and they don't find it offensive either.
Apparently here, Ray Halbritter, who's a representative of Oneida, says in the ad that Native Americans want to be treated as what we all are, Americans. That's quote unquote.
So then stop crying about a stupid goddamn team name.
If they change this team name to the Washington Americans, my eye is twitching right now about it. If Dan Snyder gives in to this, he's the biggest dope I've ever seen in my life.
He's been fighting it tooth and nail. He's been fighting it tooth and nail. He really has. You know, I don't think if he changes a team name, and I'm sure it's not just on him. I'm sure there's going to be board of directors, trustees, you know, cousins, sisters, brothers, roommates, uncles, friend kind of thing. There's going to be a lot of people involved in this decision that may actually outvote Dan Snyder.
What's bothering me about this is, why are we only singling out the Washington Redskins? Okay.
Because it's their turn.
If anything, the Kansas City Chiefs depict an arrowhead on their helmet, which is used in war. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's no other... Sorry, I'm sitting away from the mic. There's no other team... There's no other person that you could really think of, any other nationality or heritage, except for Indian, when you think of a spearhead.
Right.
Okay? The Cleveland Indians in Major League Baseball, if you want to talk about an offensive mascot...
They have a cartoon Indian head.
His name is Chief Wahoo.
Mm-hmm.
No, I finally wake Joe up.
Yeah, he old Yazoo there.
He's a cartoon Indian with huge buck teeth and a shit-eating grin. He's a fool. They've
right.
portrayed him to be a fool. I'm not saying we think he's a fool. Easy, people. Like you said, it's just their time. Why, though? Why now? Why? It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. You know, I mean, and again, we've touched on this before. You go back in the past, in within our lifetime, the Native Americans were trying very hard to eliminate the tomahawk chop, which originated down at Florida State. The Atlanta Braves borrowed it. You know, we're using it in their games. There are sports teams, probably the only exception being in basketball, that have some team with a Native American, like, name to it. You know, I mean, in hockey, you have the Chicago Blackhawks. Baseball, you have the Braves, the Indians.
And the Blackhawks logo is almost identical to the Redskins logo.
Right. Slight similarities. Slight differences with the heads facing the other way. Some more.
But it's still the side profile, yeah. The face paint. And
yeah. In football, you have the Chiefs. You have the Redskins, obviously. I can't think of any basketball team that has.
I'm sitting here trying to run through each one.
You would know it better than me, but yeah.
I can't think of any.
No.
I really can't.
Yeah. So, you know, and these teams that have these Native American names, they do kind of have a storied franchise. You know, they have a deep history. I mean, granted, the Cleveland Indians have sucked for so many years. You know, but the Atlanta Braves, storied franchise. Chicago Blackhawks, I think they're one of the original six.
They're one of the original six. They won the Stanley Cup last year. I need to know. This is like pop quiz for Poke Check Podcast.
Right, see that?
Like if Phil actually gave me a test, if this was on it and I didn't get it, I wouldn't be able to be on the show anymore. Cleveland was actually really good when in the Bob Feller days in the 40s and 50s. They
right.
haven't won anything since 1949, but I just... It's really, really bothering me. It's not like the team is the Brooklyn Gindaloons. Like, it's not like it's oh God, if they change the name of this team, man. Number one, I'm gonna need new jerseys.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, trying to put a funny spin on it, but I'm really pissed off, and if they really change the team name, it's not going to be the same, man.
Right.
It's not going to be the same. Then you might as well move them out of D.C. and move them to Los Angeles, name them something totally different, and forget all of the heritage and lineage that came along with the Washington Redskins.
Yeah.
Bottom line. Changing the name of that team shits all over guys like Theismann and Riggins and Monk and Mark Rippon, and even though Rippon sucked, but Doug Williams, first African American to ever win the Super Bowl, you're gonna just shit all over the team's lineage, and you're gonna change the name,
right?
Deplorable.
And I tried sparking a little debate on the Facebook page when Opie from the Opie and Anthony Show had shared a picture that was in the Daily News, and it was a cartoon commentary, and it had what was supposed to be offensive flags. The first one, the Nazi SS flag, very offensive.
Absolutely.
The Old South Dixie flag, the Confederate flag.
Yeah.
And then the Redskins flag right next to it. No.
I know.
No.
I know.
Not at all. You are overstating the offensiveness of that of the Redskins. That is completely ridiculous. I don't know who put it up, but I reached out to Kira, who's a friend of the show.
We got to get her on soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Friend of the show. I asked, she's part Native American, and I asked her, I was like, you know, do you find this offensive? And her response was, her one-word response was nope. But, you know, she did respond by saying, my opinion is that this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. We have more important things to worry about in both the NFL and in this country. No sense in changing a great football history. Get over it.
She's not the only one saying it. It's not like she's revolutionizing the thought process
on
this.
No, not at all. You know, she's not going against the grain. She's going with what a lot of other people think. So, all right, that's enough of this.
Yeah, I hate to wrap it up on such a down note, but nothing else has come over on the inactive lists. Everything else seems to be up and running as planned. Quick plugs, besides us, obviously, on the lovely More Like Radio Network, you have Ham Radio every Tuesday on morelikeradio.com. I didn't call in last week. I just sent Hammy my picks. Well, I sent Eddie my picks for the show. I'm hoping to call in this week. I've been super busy at my normal job. Sully's on right after us.
He's going to be live this week.
Having a live show this week after being away last week because of the birth of his godchild. You could find Will and myself on Twitter. That's either at TNT Espo or at Tat, T-A-T-T-T-D, Will. Go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/tattoosandtouchdowns. You can email us, tattoosandtouchdowns@gmail.com. If you missed anything on this show that you wanted to hear again or you wanted to hear for the first time, if you missed it, dope that I am. We are replayed every Tuesday night, midnight to 2 a.m., every Friday afternoon, noon to 2 p.m. Other than that, we have...
don't forget your other project, the Poke Check Podcast.
Getting right to it right now, Poke Check Podcast with the fantastic Phil Rea, who also has his own show, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, if you're into throwback wrestling. We do the Poke Check Podcast every Tuesday night at about 8:30, and then it's out about a half hour after that. And I think right now, on Twitter, you can go at Poke Check Cast. No podcast on that, at Poke Check Cast. Give us a like and a listen on Facebook as well, facebook.com/pokecheckpodcast.
All right. We're going to wrap it up right now after all that. I'm going to finish it off with a quote from the great Bum Phillips, which is kind of what Chris and I are working on right now. Last year we knocked on the door. This year we beat on it. Next year we're going to kick that son of a bitch in. You've been listening to the Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com. We will see you next week. Stay tuned for the Sully Show right after us. And don't forget about Ham Radio every Tuesday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., morelikeradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy your football for the week.
They are who we thought they were.